today as we come to the table.
Guys, we're in a spiritual battle. Learn to recognize it. Start watching for patterns. Don't look for demons behind everything. Everybody, some people go too far and everything's a demon. You know, I spilled my milk. It's the demon of, you know, dairy or something. No, you spilled your milk because you're like me and you're clumsy. So life's normal. Things happen. You have flat tires, you spill milk, you get sick. It's all normal. We live in a world that's fallen. But sometimes there's an attack of the enemy. Have your spiritual glasses on and be watching. Know how to pray, know when to pray, and pray for wisdom. For where we are in the world today, we need wisdom.
It's safe to say that most of us have been confronted with demons at one time or another, whether it's in movies, television, or books. Demons have been a fixture of our media for a long time. In today's message, Pastor Mark wants you to know that you can't treat demons just as fantasy and need to take them seriously. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. The way demons infiltrate our lives is not like what we see in the media. You're not fighting monsters or getting tortured. They penetrate your heart through the little things. When you share the gospel with the world, Satan does everything possible to get in the way. But don't fear. God will never leave your side. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
The Lord is on his way over to see them. And we talked about opposition when you're trying to go do what God has called you to do. There's great opposition. And so this is a battle. There's this whole battle going on behind the scenes. The disciples couldn't see anything other than the demons being cast out. But the Lord wanted them to learn. You're watching spiritual warfare. And he wants us to learn. You're watching spiritual warfare. Be ready. You're not only watching it in Afghanistan. You're watching it here in America. Guys, listen, a lot of the stuff you're watching right now, this is demonic that's going on. This is spiritual warfare. Anybody can point to politics they want. I understand politics are real. I understand people are real. I believe in politics and people. But I know the spiritual realm's real. And I know that the battle's raging. And what the Bible says is the enemy simply uses mankind and mankind's politics and mankind's bodies to get done what he wants to get done. The Bible says in 1 John, the entire world is under the sway of the evil one. Has anyone noticed the entire world is all walking to one big tune today with no problem? Has anybody noticed that? Listen, this is a massive spiritual thing going on in the world. It's leading up to the Antichrist who will come and eventually take over the world, if you will, as we talked about in Revelation and at other times. Jesus wants his disciples to recognize this. They need to be able to see when this is a spiritual battle and discern the difference so they know how to fight. And so notice this. He sees the great multitudes. He says he gives a command to go to the other side. Now remember that. He gives them a command to go to the other side. I want to focus on that just for a moment because I want you to recognize this. In just a moment, they're going to be in a storm. A terrible storm. And they're going to panic so much in the midst of the storm, they're all convinced they're going to die. We're all going to die. We have no hope. Wait a minute. Didn't Jesus say we're going to the other side? And didn't Jesus give a command to go to the other side? Listen, if Jesus gives us a command to go to the other side, if Jesus has put in your heart something he has not yet completed, if he is leading your life and showing you what he wants you to do, you're going to get there regardless of the storm, regardless of whether it's COVID or anything else. If Jesus said you're going to get there, you're going to get there. And I love the fact that he commanded them to go, which means it's something that I wouldn't give a command if you weren't able to do it. So you're going to be able to do it. You're going to get there. You've got to trust me. And by the way, how do we know they're going to get there? Again, I'm getting a little bit ahead in the storm thing, but it really applies here. Listen, if you're in the boat with Jesus, the boat's not going to sink. Do you know the Lord? Is he your Lord? If you know the Lord and he's your Lord and you're in the boat with Jesus, I promise you that boat is not going to sink. You will get to the other side. And secondly, as I said, if God makes a promise to you, nothing's going to stand in the way of that promise being completed. Again, we're going to see their panic, and we're going to see their fear because they're so afraid. Aren't we by nature panickers and fearers? Don't we do that? God knows that's why the Bible says more than any other command in the Bible, God says, do not be afraid. More than any other command in the Bible. You know why? Because he knows we're constantly afraid. All it takes is a little hoo-ha. You know, we're scared. We're just jumpy people. I mean, that's just kind of our nature. The Lord knows that. He says, don't be afraid. You've got to learn to walk in faith and in boldness and in trust. And I want to encourage you in something else. With all the worries and all the fears and all the panics that are going on in the world today, I'm not saying don't use wisdom. I'm not denying reality. Here's what I'm saying. You're not going anywhere until the Lord says so. Anywhere. If you're walking with him. Now, I do believe if you're not walking with the Lord, the Bible does show that God sometimes will allow the life to end sooner than it's supposed to. I realize that opens up a big theological can of worms, but the Bible teaches that. We don't have time to develop that. But if you're walking with the Lord, you're not going anywhere until God says you're going, and you can rest and you can trust, and there's no need to panic. And we're going to see the storm gets pretty bad, and right now we're going through some very interesting storms. Maybe you've got your own storms on top of the world's storms you're going through right now, but you need to realize the Lord has a plan. He had you born at this time of life, or this time of the world's life, if you will. You're in this generation. He knew you would be in this generation. We've talked about it before. He's given you an assignment in this generation. Find out what that is and just start serving. God will lead you in whatever that is. And then he's going to let you complete that. You're not going anywhere until it's done. And so he gives the command to depart to the other side. And notice that a certain scribe came and said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, who were the scribes? These were the guys that wrote down the Bible. They would spend time making copies of the Bible. So if you thought that anyone knew the word good, it was a scribe. And so now this scribe, he gets excited by the miracles that he's seeing in Jesus. He gets excited by demons being cast out with a word, and he knows how all these rituals they do. He realizes there's power in him, and out of emotion, note this, out of emotion, he says, I'll go with you wherever you go. The Lord recognized this is nothing but emotion. Emotion is not going to take you to the finish line. Emotion will just get you deceived. Oftentimes, it'll get you started, and oftentimes just deceived. You can't get to the finish line by emotion. What do I mean by that? Again, count the cost. If you give your life to Jesus Christ, it's more than just saying a prayer. It's choosing to follow him and choosing to walk with him all the days of your life. And that means whenever the storm comes or whether the storm doesn't come, you've got to commit to following the Lord. And it also means there may be some sacrifice involved in the midst of that. Let me ask you this. If you were in Afghanistan today, would you be willing to follow the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Think about that. Listen, we never know till we're in that situation. And I know that God would give us the grace to do that. But what God is challenging the scribe with is saying, look, don't make an emotional decision here. This is why we see oftentimes they do these large evangelistic outreaches, which I love. I think they're great. They'll follow up on a lot of the people that have come forward at that moment, and many of them never did really walk with the Lord. They just kind of walked away, and they wonder, why is that happening? I think a lot of that is it was a very emotional song. It was a very good speaker, and people responded to it. I'm not taking away from what was real about it. Much of it, and most of it, was real and great. But what Jesus wants the scribe to make sure, and what we've got to make sure in our heart is, why do we want to follow? Because the excitement of following, or because we really believe that he's the Messiah and the only way to heaven? Remember the disciples that walked away. Jesus said to his disciples, his closest ones, are you going to leave as well? And they said, Lord, where would we go? You hold the words of life. We're staying right here. We have to have a heart that says, Lord, I'm not going anywhere. I'm holding on to you because you have the words of life. Now, I'm pressing this because the Bible says in the last days there's going to be a falling away. What happens next week if Christianity is outlawed in America? How many of us wouldn't be here? And how many of us would say, I guess it's jail time? See, that's when the rubber hits the road. It's one thing to go in a free country and show up to church on Sunday morning. It's another thing to say, I may go to jail for this. And it's even another thing to say, I may die for this. The Lord's challenging us, and he's challenging the scribe, make up your mind. Don't commit to something you don't know what you're doing, and don't be fully committed if you're not going to commit. And we look at the other gospels, this guy disappears. We don't see him following here. We don't see him in the other gospels. I can't say for sure that he didn't continue to follow the Lord, but my guess is that he didn't, because notice he says, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I'm trusting God for a place to stay each night, Mr. Scribe. I'm trusting God for food every day, Mr. Scribe. Are you willing to do that? I know that God will do it. I have faith that God will do that. Do you have faith that God will do that? What happens if the economy collapses? Are we all doomed? Or do we stand on the scripture that says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added? Do we really believe that God will provide for us food to eat, a place to stay, without building a bunker, right? I'm not saying storing up supplies is wrong. That's not my point. I'm making a point. Our provider is the Lord. He's going to take care of us. And this is what we need to understand. Whether there's a place to call home or a meal on the table, God says, I'll provide. Do you believe me? I guess we'll find out when the rubber hits the road. You know what I'm saying? And maybe we'll never have to find that out. I hope we don't. But we need to make those kind of decisions in advance so it doesn't cause us to walk away. Because there will be a falling away in the last days. I don't want it to be you guys. I don't want this church to be half empty if there's persecution that starts on the church. I'd love to see, if persecution ever started in America, and I don't want it to, greater than it is, I'd love to see this place fill up. And say, you know what? Jesus, you did it for us. We're all in for you. Now, that's a supernatural thing. It's not self-determination. I'm going to be tough for Jesus. No, you won't. Peter was going to be tough for Jesus. And he denied some little girl. Weren't you with him? I never saw him. Peter, come on. I don't blame Peter. What would I have done in the same situation? I don't know. Probably the same thing. Who knows when you're facing life and death and you're not yet filled with the Holy Spirit? Because the Spirit hadn't been given yet. Peter was walking by faith in flesh. He wasn't walking by faith in the Holy Spirit at that point. So we can't be too hard on Peter. But again, we have to make sure that we, you know, Lord, I'm in this, and here's what's going to happen. Listen to me. God will give you what you need to make a stand. He will give you the amazing grace that we sing about over and over and over. History has shown that. It'll be supernatural if you ever need it. God will give it to you. Trust him to do it. And so, yep, you want to do this? Well, make a commitment and realize what you're making. Now another guy comes along. This is one of the disciples that's walking with the Lord as well. Not one of the 12, but it's a disciple. Notice what it says. Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Look, here's the problem. You heard me probably emphasize it. You can't follow the Lord in a serious commitment with the words, me first. You first. You first, Lord. And then me. And notice what the Lord says to him. And he said to him, but Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Now, this sounds harsh, but it's not. Let me explain why. We need to know a little bit of culture here to realize what's going on. Back in that day, to take care of your parents was called burying my father and my mother. In other words, it may be another 20 years after this statement that his dad dies. It wasn't like the funeral was about to happen, that all the camels were lined up with the little flags on them for the stoplights. There's not a funeral about to happen, okay? This is probably my dad's healthy. He's doing well. I need to take care of him, which was a good, responsible thing to do. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. If you're going to follow me, you choose to do it right now. Immediately you follow me. Does that mean we don't take care of our parents? Absolutely not. Of course you take care of our parents. What the Lord is saying is, yes, take care of life's responsibilities, like take care of your parents, take care of your family, do what needs to be done, but don't delay following me because you made some excuse about how you've got to take care of something else first. You choose to follow me right now, on the spot, no turning back, all out commitment. That's who I want following me. And that's still who the Lord wants following him today with all the other responsibilities. He says, let the dead bury their dead. There are people that are unbelievers. They don't care about me. They're living for this world. Leave them alone. But you're living for life. You're living for Christ. If you're following me, follow me. So again, the question, again, we don't know what the man did, but at the same time, we see that warning there. Now, coming toward the end of the day, we see this storm that I've been talking about. And I already kind of let the cat out of the bag about the storm. I probably talked too much about it before we got there. But notice this. They've come to the end of this long day, all these demonic battles, rebuking a demon with Peter's mother-in-law. Again, rebuking the demons that stood there in the long lines at his door. And now we see another demonic activity that the language is going to reveal is indeed demonic. And it deals even with the weather. But remember, the Lord is now traveling over to set these demoniacs free. Now we're seeing the demonic opposition fighting against him. By the way, listen, the angels, the Bible says, are stationed around the world, the fallen angels, fighting against the work of God. That's why he opposes us. There are different angels stationed in different places. You read Daniel chapter 10. It talks about a demon called the Prince of Greece. A demon called the Prince of Persia. What's that about? These are these fallen angels that have certain authorities and ranks that it tells us about in Ephesians chapter 4. And no doubt there's probably some demon over Knoxville. Probably over almost every city in America, there's probably some demon. And it's part of it. There's forces working that are a lot higher than we are. And now these forces of that region are going to begin to fight against the Lord as he's setting people free from the demonic realm. And notice what happens. And when he got into a boat, His disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea. Isn't that interesting? Nothing till they got in the boat and started going. Then suddenly, a great tempest. Isn't that interesting? Now, by the way, that still happens today. Mount Hermon is there in the north. It gets snow. Most of the year has snow on it, believe it or not. They're in the Middle East. That cold wind comes down all those lower areas and blows down to the valleys, hits some 6,000 feet below sea level at the Sea of Galilee where the warm air is, and it causes these really just massive storms there on the Sea of Galilee. They say the waves can get as high as 15, 20 feet high. I can't imagine that on the Sea of Galilee, but they say it really happens, and it's just kind of scary when you see it. That's probably what we have going on here. And it might even be worse than that. We don't know for sure. But notice here, suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Now note this. You want to see how totally exhausted the Lord is. There's two things to note. One is the total faith that he has in the Father that they're going to go to the other side regardless of the seriousness of the storm. Let that sink into your heart. But also, the exhaustion. There's probably very few times Jesus could grab any sleep. The disciples are always waking him up, asking him questions. He's always trying to sneak away to pray. His life was extremely hectic. Notice how exhausted he was to sleep in a medium-sized boat, so bad the disciples think they're going to drown, and they're experienced fishermen. They're not new to the water. So it would take quite a storm to scare these guys. Waves are splashing up over the side, hitting the Lord, and he's snoozing. Imagine that. That's amazing to me. What rest. What exhaustion. All the different things that are happening there. Notice it says, then his disciples came and they awoke him saying, Lord, save us. We're perishing. We're all going to die. Right? Ever felt that way? Again, it's human nature. We panic. It's all over. It's done. I can tell you, there have been times throughout the years, you know, God has told me that as long as I stay walking with him and don't do something stupid, and pray for your pastor that he doesn't do something stupid, because it hurts the whole church and it hurts the name of Christ and it hurts so many things. And I know it's a reality, and there have to be guards and walls up and protections. But as long as I stay walking with him, I think he's given me promises that have not yet been fulfilled. And that means no matter how bad the storm gets, guess where we're going? To the other side. We're going to get there. You're going to get where God has called you. And so there's no need to panic. And there's been times in the ministry I thought, okay, that's it. We're done. Church is going to fold now. It's not going to go any farther. And if I'd only remembered, the Lord said, you're going to the other side. I told you that. If the disciples just remembered God's promise, they wouldn't have been panicked here. Now, certainly they would have been afraid to some degree. They're human. And they didn't fully understand. I want to cut them a little bit of slack here because they didn't realize yet he was God. They didn't really understand the authority that he walked in. But at the same time, they're panicked. And they see him sleeping. They've seen his power. They've seen the miracles. There should have been some level of trust there. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Now, that, to me, what a statement that is. For them to be afraid in a storm that bad, and he says that it's little faith that they're afraid. Oh, my goodness, where's my faith? Because to me, if there's a reason to be freaking out, this would be it. And the Lord says, you lack faith. And he arose, and note this, rebuked the winds and the sea. Since when do you rebuke winds and sea? And there was a great calm. First of all, imagine what it would have been like for the water to suddenly go, whew. I mean, if you'd been on that boat, you'd have been thankful, right? But at the same time, you'd be going, oh my goodness, who are we in the boat with? And I think part of the reason we panic is we don't recognize who we're in the boat with. As if you begin to recognize who you're in the boat with, a lot of your panic is going to be from this big raging storm. We're all going to die. And also it's going to go, you know what? I'm not dying unless the Lord says so. And even if I do, it gets pretty good. I think I'm okay. I think I can sleep. I think I can rest. Thank you, Lord. It's beautiful. So they're freaking out watching this. And the Jews taught that only God could calm the winds and the sea. So in their mind already, they're thinking, this is God. Because that's what they taught in the synagogues. He makes everything calm down immediately and just stop. But here's the thing I want you to note. Again, why I believe indeed this is also a demonic attack. Not just because he rebuked the wind and the seas, but the word rebuked here is the word to censure. To severely censure is what the word means. You ever heard in Congress when somebody does something really wrong and they all vote to censure them? What are we going to do with this congressman? They're out of order. Let's censure them. It's a public rebuke of a being. It's a public rebuke of a person. It's also the same word that was used when Jesus rebuked the enemy in the wilderness. No, this is a demonic attack. Jesus rebukes the storm, but he rebukes the demonic realm behind the storm, and the storm calms down. And there's two things to note. Learning to recognize when it's demonic and when it's not, that's a great lesson to learn. But also it shows us that Satan has limited power in even the environment. Isn't that interesting? Look at Job chapter 1 and chapter 2 later on when you're home. He actually makes lightning come down and burn up Job's flocks. He causes a great wind, which probably was a tornado, to knock down his children's home and all of his children die. Now, the Lord didn't do that. Satan did that. God allowed him to for his purposes. We won't question him. But again, we see that even when it comes to storms, the enemy can be involved in that. So we have to recognize when to pray and how to pray. I remember being at an outreach in Nashville years ago, right after I'd gotten saved, and we had this big outdoor outreach we were doing, and all these things, music, things lined up to do this thing. I forget even who we were linked up with and why I was, you know, involved in it. I think it was our church that was doing it. But either way, all of a sudden it got time for it to do it, and we had people showing up, and it was going to be this great moment of reaching out for Christ in Franklin, Tennessee, you know, and this whole thing. And all of a sudden, this massive storm started blowing. I mean, lightning, thunder, wind blowing really hard. We're like, man, what timing? This is the worst timing. This is horrible. And none of us at that time even thought about it being demonic. I'm not saying it was, but I'll tell you what happened. We all gathered around and just started praying. God, just stop the wind, stop the storm, move the storm, whatever. And it just dissipated and went away, and we went on with the event. It was truly supernatural. And I look back now and go, you know what? That was so quick, the way it turned around. It didn't look like God just, because God can just stop it from raining and moving. I realize that. It doesn't have to be spiritual. But because of the way it happened, I look back now and wonder, was it not one of these situations where we all gathered together and pray and God rebuked the enemy and it stopped? So learn to recognize when to pray and how to pray. Don't just assume it's a natural storm. Don't just assume it's a natural pain. Don't just assume it's a natural fever. Whatever the case might be, it might be. But learn to recognize patterns and learn to recognize when you're doing something for God that the enemy may not want you to complete. And then you'll know how to pray. Then you begin to recognize what the demonic realm is doing. And so the men marveled and said, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Can you imagine what a great guy to have with you if you wanted to go surfing, right? Guys, we're in a spiritual battle. Learn to recognize it. Start watching for patterns. Don't look for demons behind everything. Everybody, some people go too far and everything's a demon. You know, I spilled my milk. It's the demon of, you know, dairy or something. No, you spilled your milk because you're like me and you're clumsy. So life's normal. Things happen. You have flat tires, you spill milk, you get sick. It's all normal. We live in a world that's fallen. But sometimes there's an attack of the enemy. Have your spiritual glasses on and be watching. Know how to pray, know when to pray, and pray for wisdom. For where we are in the world today, we need wisdom. Like I said, I believe we're going to see probably more demonic activity. It may not manifest with people falling and foaming and crying out against whatever, but there's going to be more demonic activity, I believe, in our government, in our cities, in our land, and around the world. And so as believers, we need to be an army that's ready, trained, spiritual boot camp. We're prepared. We don't just write it off like the world does. Oh, there's no demons. Fine. Why don't you stay over there? You're not going to be any useful at all in the battle. But we're going to battle, and we see what's happening, and we're going to pray.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day on this station. Say, wasn't that message great? Pastor Mark is helping us follow the journey of Jesus through the book of Matthew. And along the way, we're finding great highs and very low lows. Jesus will be worshiped by the people, but also beaten and killed by the authorities. But we know that in the kingdom of God, everything gets turned upside down, because the lowest moment in the life of Jesus was also his greatest triumph, thanks to him conquering sin and death on the cross. And in the end, we will see him rise. But he doesn't leave it at that. Before he returns to heaven, he has a commission for you and me that we find in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Since we know the end of the story and we know that we're called to make disciples, let's lean into the teachings and commands of Jesus along the way. Now, if you missed any part of this message, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net under the Come to the Table section, or just download the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store and take us wherever you go. And while you go out to make disciples, save another half hour for us. as we'll continue to go verse by verse through the book of Matthew the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.